Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The words I'd like to consider with you this morning from Ephesians, these are words that were written as a part of the LWML celebration. From Ephesians chapter 5, the first two verses, these are verses that are familiar to everyone associated with the school because this was our theme last year. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, rich blessings and congratulations to the women of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, our Lutheran Women in Mission, as we celebrate today one of the most enduring and most effective mission organizations of our church body. Truly, the work that has been done and is being done and will be done by the LWML is a sacrifice and an offering to God that is fragrant. Paul, prior to his conversion to the Christian faith, always thought that his life was a fragrant offering to the Lord, an acceptable sacrifice. Listen again to the way Paul talks about his former life when he writes to the Philippians in chapter 3. He says, "If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." What could be more fragrant of an offering to God? What could be more aromatic in the Father's nostrils than the uber-religious life of a man like Paul? And yet Paul's very next words to the Philippians are these. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Christ created in Paul an entirely new heart and mind, so radically new that everything that Paul always thought mattered before God, everything that counted before God, he just all of a sudden tossed it aside like yesterday's garbage. He had come to understand that his bloodline did not count for anything before God. His titles did not count before God. His family affiliation didn't count. His religious zeal didn't count. Not even his religious works counted. Paul finally learned what the prophet Isaiah said. "The incense you bring to me is a stench in my nostrils." You thought you were so savory and aromatic in the eye and the nose of the Lord because of your religious works. No, no. That was a stench. Because everything that we do of ourselves is tainted by sin. And the best we can do, apart from Christ, is to raise a stench in the nostrils of our Father. As the vicar said a few weeks ago, we stink. And yet, back in the Old Testament, when the Jews burned their sacrifices and their incense, God did say at that time that all of that was a savory aroma to him. But it was savory not for the same reason the Jews thought it was savory. You see, they thought the smoke of their sacrifices, all the bulls and the goats and the rams and the doves and the incense that they burned, they thought all of that was savory to God because they had done such a noble thing. They had fulfilled their religious duty, and that's what God liked about it. No, no, the truth is, God was pleased with their sacrifices and the aroma of it only because those sacrifices foreshadowed the work of Christ. Here's how Martin Luther said it in one of his sermons. He said, "Israel's sacrifices were acceptable on the ground of the true sacrifice which they foreshadowed. All sacrifices are powerless but that of Christ himself. He is the sweet-smelling savor. this sacrifice is pleasing to God. He gladly accepts it and would have us be confident it is an acceptable offering in our place. He is the sweet-smelling savor, both his life and his death. And so there's a couple at Cana. They're having a wedding. They run out of wine and they're facing public humiliation. Jesus steps in. He turns water into the very best of wine and he saves the day. And the father catches a whiff of his son's love and his life. And he is pleased. It's fragrant. The blind people see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the mute speak, the dead are raised, the hungry are fed, the demon-possessed are liberated, lepers are cleansed, the seas are calmed, a severed ear is restored, the kingdom of God is preached to everyone, and his mercy is extended to even to the worst of sinners. And in heaven, the Father draws a deep whiff of the life of his Son, and it is fragrant and an aromatic offering, and it reaches his nostrils, and the angels dance because the Father in heaven is pleased. The incense has now been lit. The fire is burning and the perfect sacrifice is all set to be made. A sacrifice so sweet, so savory, so perfect that it has the power to remove all of the stench of all of the sins of all of mankind for all time. That's the plan of God, that his Son Jesus, God's own Lamb, would live and die as our substitute and sacrifice, that he might be that sweet-smelling aroma of our salvation. It's like when you went on a camping trip for a week, and then you got back home after a week of camping, and you step into the house for the first time and realize how your clothes have picked up the smell. What I think is a wonderful smell of the campfire, you know, and then you're unpacking your clothes, and that smell of the campfire just kind of wafts up to your nose, and it brings back all of the memories of the talking and the singing and the laughing and the s'mores and all that you made around the campfire. Friends, the savory aroma of Christ's sacrifice clings to each of you who believe in him. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. The aroma of his sacrifice covers the stench of our sin. And that aroma evokes in the nostrils and in the memory of God everything that Jesus did for you. When he bore your sins, when he took the punishment, when in agony he prayed for your forgiveness, and then when he died your death and rose for you. So the first sacrifice that we bring to God is not the sacrifice of our own doing, the righteous things that we do. The first sacrifice we bring to him is that of our repentance. That's why we always start off our services with a time of confession and absolution. Because the first sacrifice we bring is to give up to him our sins, give him the stench. Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so we come here and we give up our sin. We give up the guilt. We give up the stench. We give it to him. And the aroma of Christ's sacrifice clings to us. And now our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and in the heart of our Father and on his palm. But you know what else is written there in our Father's heart? Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just as Jesus was appointed to do good works so are you. You are appointed to do good works because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You need to understand that whenever you, in obedience to the Lord's Great Commission, extend compassion to a neighbor or help to make a disciple for Jesus Christ out of that neighbor, whether he's next door or around the world, your Father in heaven receives those efforts as a fragrant sacrifice and offering. It's what Paul said to the Romans, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So when you water baptize blood-covered, Holy Spirit-filled, consecrated and anointed daughters of Zion from the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, give your pennies and your nickels and dimes and quarters and your dollars for missions, the Father receives every single one of those sacrifices as a fragrant offering. And when the children come here today with their full mite boxes and they present them to support the ministry of comfort dogs like Rosie, who is going to be here in a few weeks, or to rebuild a Lutheran school in Haiti, or to support the ministry of to a developmentally challenged people, or to train indigenous pastors here so that they can go around the world and spread the gospel. When those children bring those mites to support those ministries and missions, the Father in heaven receives every one of them as a fragrant offering and aroma. And when we, each one of you, shows yourself approved by studying the Word of God, by dwelling together in unity, by faithfully confessing the faith, your faith in the midst of this perverse generation, by speaking your faith, by loving one another, by helping a neighbor in the name of Jesus, these offerings of your lives rise up to the nostrils of God, our holy and gracious and forgiving Father, and He catches a big whiff, and He is pleased. Every act of obedience, every Sunday school offering, every hour spent in the study of the Word of God, every act of faith, every word spoken in faith, every work of love, every gift of time and treasure and talent. Oh, how savory. Every chord struck by the organist, every church lawn or cemetery lawn mowed by a volunteer, every minute of preparation by a Sunday school teacher, every meeting attended by a church officer, every loving stitch put into a Ladies' Aid quilt, every anthem that is raised by the choir, every smile you receive from a greeter or an usher, on account of Jesus Christ, who is the aroma of our salvation, on account of Him, it all rises up to the Father as an acceptable, sweet-smelling savor and sacrificial offering. Think of it, friends. It is our privilege to bring joy to the heart of our Father, not just by the things that we do that He approves, but by presenting our very bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. So, dear saints of God, let's strive. Let's all strive together and privately in our own lives and as we encounter people in our circles of influence. Let's strive with all of our Spirit-given faith to infuse the heavens with the fragrant sacrifices of our offerings, not just the things we do, but by being those sacrifices and offerings in the nostrils of our loving God and Father. And may I also say to all of the women of St. John Lutheran, young or old, a great way to do that would be to be an active part of the LWML. There is no finer organization through which to direct your service and your gifts and to be that fragrant sacrifice. Pay attention to when they meet, to when they convene their conventions. Be a part of it. It's exciting what they're going to do. You're going to hear a few stories in just a moment. and let that savory scent rise up to the nostrils of God. So God continued to bless the work and the ministry of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and God inspire each and every one of you to be that fragrant sacrifice and offering. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.